Welcome to Compliance Perspectives. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. We are coming to you today from Singapore, where we're at the Sold Out Academy in 2017. And joining me today is one of the faculty members, a board member, and a longtime leader of the compliance field, Marjorie Doyle. Marjorie, thanks for taking time out from the Academy to join us.
Thanks for asking me.
So today we're going to talk about the board and working with the board, which is obviously a challenge for a lot of compliance people going into it. Not too many have done it before. In general, what do you see as the main anxiety points as you're working with clients about working with the board?
Well, I think the organizations as a whole are always very protective, and probably overly so, of the board. Because this notion that the board is very busy, they have limited time with board meetings since they're not part of management, they're not there all the time, and so everyone is really sort of babysitting the board, managing their time, so it's very hard to get into the board and get time with them. So I think there's this anxiety about, oh my goodness, I have to go through all these steps to ask to get time with the board.
Right. And I imagine, as you're raising this, I'm already skipping ahead, I realize, a step or two, which is once you get in, I think probably one of the biggest pieces of advice is to make sure that you use your time very wisely.
Absolutely.
Given how little you get of it.
Absolutely. It's interesting, though, I found that once you get in and deliver what I think should be the initial message to them is, hey, board, in the last 15 to 20 years, your responsibilities have really changed around ethics and compliance. So the first thing I want to let you know in order to protect you and the company is your oversight in ethics and compliance programs has really changed and expanded, and it can be dangerous to you personally and to the company if you're not aware of those. So you pique their interest in that way, and I think you have to immediately tell them what that change is. And basically that change is, in the old days, I will say, it was a board member would have to just know, do we have a compliance program? Yes, then I don't need to worry my pretty little head about anything else. And today, has to be in much more detail. They have to, in fact, know what the steps are and ask questions on each of those steps enough to satisfy their oversight responsibilities. Once you pique that interest and they go, oh my goodness, then they're on the edge of their seat about, well, what is that and how do I fulfill that? I have found that once you get in, I've had, the first time maybe, oh, you only have 20 minutes with the board, and then they will invite me back and say, okay, we want a workshop or 2 hours. Now, obviously, when the organization is in trouble, the board is all ears.
Right.
Because a lot of the way they get out of trouble is cleaning up a mess, but then how are we going to prevent it in the future? And that's where the ethics and compliance professional comes in.
Now, to your point about it changing and the expectations changing, I think one of the things that's notable about the new DOJ evaluation questions for prosecutors about a compliance program, buried in there, or sort of not buried, but scattered through it, are a bunch of questions about the board. And I think one of the more interesting ones is the question, what compliance expertise is available on the board, not to the board,
right,
but on the board, which seems to me an argument for getting more compliance people on the board, but also for upping the amount of time that the compliance person spends training the board on what they need to know.
Absolutely. And so my focus these days is on boards and in constantly advocating for expertise on the board in the form of a human being. Mm-hmm. And the best would be one from our profession who is certified and who can be clearly seen as an expert and is there to sit through a lot of things. Once we have those type us kind of people in our profession on the board, I think the board will be pleasantly surprised that we're not just one-dimensional. Because when we talk about ethics and compliance professionals, you really have to understand all the processes in the company, which is, you know, making money, how the business people operate, all those sorts of things. We're not really a siloed
function
and expertise. So I think what we would provide to the board by just being there and spotting things that others might not see would be totally invaluable. Now, in the meantime, I've urged board members, sometimes boards don't want to keep a minute of what was presented to the board. I say for your own interest, you should have on your records that you have presentations around ethics and compliance every time, what those were, how, you know, that there was participation by the board and involvement in questioning.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. You know, we're not obviously at that state yet where there's
right.
the expertise on the board, but you know, when you work with compliance officers on working with the board, what's your advice for if you're a compliance officer, you finally have crossed that threshold, you're getting board time, you said before, make sure they understand how urgent it is and how important it is for them to start showing interest in them. What are the things about the compliance program that you should absolutely tell the board right away so that they start getting the understanding that they need to have the proper oversight of the program?
Okay, so one of the things I have developed is a one chart that shows, it's like a circle, it shows all the steps in a compliance program, because the board wants something very pithy, very concise. Tell me if I look at this, I can pull it out at every board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a chart for them. And then on each of the steps, I have the specific questions they should be asking. Now, those of management and specifically the ethics and compliance officer. Now, those questions happen to translate into a report.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what kind of training do we have? So that every time you report, you should have a dashboard of here's our training, here's the kind of training, here are the businesses that did their training, here's the ones that did not. So they like that sort of thing that I don't, oh my gosh, I don't have to go into all these papers.
Basically, break it up into measurable bite-sized pieces that they know what
Absolutely.
To ask about.
Then you should be able to, I like to pick out a couple of the top risk areas that you have gleaned from doing your risk assessment and say, we'd like to talk about privacy, okay, and what the risk is in this company. It's a hot topic these days, and here specifically of the things in our company that we are focused on. And not just here are the requirements of privacy, but here are the current risks, and pull out your chart again of the process. Here's how we're working the process. And then I think you need to help satisfy their oversight by saying, okay, we have all this activity, but now we're going to show you why it's been effective and have metrics on that. Because all of those things allow them to ask questions and therefore satisfy what you've told them is their oversight. You can say, okay, that's your oversight. Now, the other thing I always like to talk with the board is culture, because it's at the base of the success of any program. So all these other things are not just check the box. And it's always, you have to immediately explain, they're not here all the time, so how in the world can we affect culture? So you have specific things they can do to affect culture. And those are the ones that I find boards are very interested in when you tell them, here's exactly what you can do to affect culture. The easiest one that they come up with by themselves and they start raising their hand and saying, oh, I've thought of one, is the board is the one when big projects come in, business projects, they have to come to the board for approval. And to say to them, when you start questioning that business person who's coming in and trying to sell their project, the first questions you should always ask is, can we do this project and do it and still comply with our values?
Mm-hmm.
and talk about the values we have. We have a particular value about safety. Can we do this to our standards?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Not the standards of the law, but much higher, because that's one of our standards. And so the business person will then start talking about that. Always have that as the first question, because then what that business person will go out into the hall as they leave the boardroom and say to the next person up, business person up, they're going to ask you a question about our culture and our values. And that means then it will trickle down and all the business people will go, I better know what our values are.
Right.
I better be able to ask that question.
Well, it also probably makes the manager, him or herself, become a communicator of the values as
Absolutely.
He takes to the team. So I hate ending on a negative note, but let me ask one question of sort of words of warning. What are some of the ways a compliance officer can walk into the room with the board and just send things the wrong direction quickly and send the wrong message? So sort of what's easy pitfalls to avoid?
I think you have to be very clear about your message. You have to make it concise, and you have to be able to let the board ask questions and involve them. If you just go in saying, I have a 5-minute speech and I'm going to give it come hell or high water and I'm going to make sure I have, you know, the right number of slides, I think you should instead focus on really communicating with these board members. Have a simple message, leave them wanting more and asking more. Make it a positive kind of statement, and I'm here to help make your life better on this requirement you've got to give.
That's great counsel. Marjorie, thank you so much for taking the time here in Singapore to share it with us. I'm Adam Turteltaub from Compliance Perspective, saying thank you very much for listening.
Thanks.